نشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الحمد لله الواري الكريم. وصلى الله على أنبياء أجمعين والمسيح والمحسي والمجدد لمن مرسلين. أما بعد. Are we not the bearers of witness that nothing would exist if Allah didn't create it? And that He is alone and has no part. And that all gratitude is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the sustainer of all the boundless universes. All gratitude is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the generous eternal friend. And send salutations of Allah on all of His prophets and His apostles. And on the Messiah, the anointed one. And on the Mahdi, the guide. And on the Mujaddid, the reformer, which was all sent from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We send greetings and we send peace throughout the boundless universe to all. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.
The man of the hour, airing 7 days a week at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on WGAG Radio.
What was some of the questions that was asked concerning Native Americans?
Okay. I know as a little girl, right, I remember my grandfather coming to us when we were, like, my daughter's in age at the time. His feathers were very long. They were down to the ground, very long. And his garb was like a pure, like, sheepskin, like, the type of garb he had around it, the inscriptions on it. You know, all I can remember is how the beads were, the white beads, and the emblem he used to have on his chest, and the feathers, and he used to, like, tell us stories. You know, as a little girl, you just don't remember, like, the essence of it, but you remember, you know. It's like I remember it, but I just can't remember the true meaning behind it, everything he used to show us and teach us, you know, growing up. And he passed away, like, in the 70s, so... It's been some time, but I still remember it from that time as a little girl, having, you know, him coming around every summer and seeing just how beautiful his garb was and how strong he was. His voice was strong, too. His voice was like, well, the same color as
people have to begin to realize here that you're all the Native Americans, and that Africans, a lot of it was a myth. Not all of it. There are Africans here. But the majority of y'all are not Africans, you're Native Americans. You are here. This is your country. And they would like to make you think that everybody came from Africa so that they can solve it with the Emancipation Proclamation, pass bills like affirmative action, and then remove them whenever they feel like. But as indigenous people, when you start proclaiming, right, your indigenous rights to the land, and you can prove it with documents and deeds, like you said, you got a reflection in your mind of your grandfather, and he was definitely standing there, a Native American. But for years you'll be taught to direct your attention towards being African or Asiatic or Arab and a whole bunch of other things. And that's done intentionally. And that's a safeguard on the part of the people right now that have the country under control. Because once you start realizing your true identity and you start making connection with foreign governments, and like we say, indigenous people of Geneva, and you start putting your indigenous rights before the public worldwide, there's nothing you can do about it. There's nothing they can do about the information we're putting out with verified. I mean, they're trying to say the all match Orientals, and Ray Charles can see that the all match are not Orientals. I mean, they need that, but it's not going to work. The time has come. We're raising it. That's too bad. But you have to get this African thing out your mind. That's not real. involved. Yes, dear.
Okay, so then when I have a son that's in college now. So then if I am aware of all that and I knew everything behind it, then he could have applied for a scholarship for Native Americans?
Yes, he could, but we shouldn't do that, right? We should provide, according to Indigenous people's rights, which is Act to the past, we're supposed to provide our own education. We're not supposed to be going to him to get educated. We're supposed to have our own education in our own language. To follow, and if we were what you call enslaved, as they say, that led us to need these documents and certificates that they issue in order to get jobs, you follow, then that's a handicap. Because we as a people need to go back to the land so we don't have to feel we have to go into industry or into their government for support. We have to learn to support ourselves. We have to learn to build for ourselves. And so I'm not saying that your son's degrees are worthless, because I have degrees also. I'm saying, but as Native Americans, if we're going to make that right, if we're going to hold up that Constitution and going to say, listen, according to what you've written or copied, you don't play fair. You follow? If we take some statistics today and just look at the world, or let's say the Western world, the Caribbeans, the Puerto Rico, Cuba, places like, we just look at where we are as a people and see how we're being treated and find out if we're being treated fair. And the Lord says, if you're not being treated fair, you have the right to go and make a private election and elect your own leadership and set up your own government. You're allowed for what they call peaceful assembly. They can't stop us from coming together like this and starting to organize for ourselves, because I don't feel safe with the incident that took place in New York a couple of days ago, which is, as the brother said, which is not an isolated incident, the famous terminology that they use. I said, this is getting pathetic. Rodney King is pathetic. The young brother who got strangled to death by accident in Chicago, you know what I mean, it's pathetic. And the young brother who got shot in front of the motorcycle store last year in Atlanta, one of the twins, you follow? I am no longer safe in your hands. You have years and years of jealousy and envy of me that you created, and now you abuse me. You follow? And you take my name, Yamasi, my natural instinct towards being gentle, as a weakness, because I don't retaliate. So my first approach is to give you back your stuff. You follow that? And set up my own stuff. I have a right to move around this land wherever I want. That's law. I have a right to set up on this land wherever I want. No one can hinder you from moving and traveling. You have a right to a nationality. That's law. These are things that's in the Constitution book, so you learn them. You have a right to stand up and say that you are an ice cream sandwich. And it's law. If you claim that as your nationality. You follow that? However, we do have a nationality that they did such a good deal of lying and burying that it makes it very difficult when we go to the library to find the facts. They buried it so well. And now it's time to bring it forward, because we tried to cooperate with you. We tried to work with you. We went, many of us did go through the system, did graduate from college, do have degrees, and still couldn't get a job. Many of us got arrested, and we didn't get fair treatment. Just us, like he said, meant just that, just us, them. It's not like we, all of us as a race, decided to rebel. To this very day, 75% of the black population, as they call us, are still trying to cooperate, literally still bending over, kissing butt. And the 25% of us that are trying, are fed up, are made to look like we're some type of troublemaker. Because I'm not sending my daughters and sons to public school so they can get shot in an environment that you can't control. And your best result is, well, give us more tax money, an institution that does not really or legally exist. You volunteer your tax, and now they enslave you with them. And then I paid it back, and the brother who from Haiti who got beat up and sodomized was probably paying tax also. So he paid them to do that to him. Why? Because we have nothing to do with the psychological evaluation of those people that are in office. They get in office by them voting each other in. Then we find out when they get in office of all the things they did. We found out once Nixon was in office that he was a crook. When are we going to start getting a psychological profile so we can analyze the people that's going to represent us? Not because he gets up and gives a good speech. You follow? Yeah, of a strong financial campaign. But when do I get a chance to find out whether the guy in charge, let's say the chief of police, when do I get a chance to investigate him? Find out who his sons and daughters are, what they do, where they go to school, are they criminals? We only find out way after. After they've what? Done damage to us. And then when we finally say, listen, I don't have anything against my country. Stop saying, go back to Africa. Go back to Africa. Go back to Europe. Go back to Africa. I ain't got nothing. This is my country. I ain't got nothing against country. I got something against the people that are misusing the country and misusing me. I should not have to fear if a police officer pulls up behind me while I'm on the road, if I say, well, my safety belt is on, I was doing 55 miles an hour, I know maybe my headlight on. You know what I mean? I can just about minimize why I'm being pulled over. But if I'm sitting there and I'm starting to get an adrenaline rush because I don't know what to expect because I get flashbacks of Rodney King, is the man that's coming with this time in the uniform, is this a devil pretending he's a human and he wants to kill me? Is there an underlying society that has a quota that says we must have a Rodney incident every certain amount of months to keep fear instilled? Because I can't believe, I know you can't either, that the officers in New York could ever imagine that they were going to get away with that. Not if they kidnapped him or accosted him or taken him from a party. If they took this individual out of a party, then people were there. That's the party generally means. And then they do what they've done to him and nobody's supposed to see it? No. They knew that was going to make public. They knew that was going to make media. It is supposed to make media. It's supposed to instill fear of the uniform. It's supposed to make me and you afraid of them. So they can walk up and do anything between that and their indoctrination of Christianity of turn the other cheek. As long as I get out of the situation, I forget the abuse. You understand? Now they're talking about how much money this boy should get. Money. I tell you, 6 months from now, there'll be another incident. And they're going to start getting closer and closer because it's a fair tactic. There is an organization. And that cop out there with O.J. Furman belonged to that organization. And it's an international connection that they have. And our officers, the Nubian officers, don't even have a clue of it because they are being abused in the police department. They don't get an equal, they don't get equal rank. The same thing in the military. Nubians in the military don't get equal rank. In the Board of Education, you don't get equal rank. You follow? So they'll probably petition for equal rank. For what? It's not like I'm going to get it. So in view of the fact that I'm not allowed to express myself intellectually, agriculturally, vocationally, whatever you say, it's time for me to pull aside and show you what's inside my mind. Because if I look to see what's inside your mind, then I'll go downtown Atlanta and I'll look at your architects and the structures they built and I'll see demagogues and demons looking off the buildings at me. If I go to New York down on Wall Street or Philadelphia, I see demons and demagogues and things bearing down off of cathedrals even. Churches even got them. You're telling me right there what is inside your soul. The artist is the expression of the people. You with me? What the artist paints tells you what the people feel inside. You hear me? But now when I get a free hand, meaning us, we got a free hand to build out here. Look what we did. Any demons and demagogues looking down off the building? No, just us. You know what they'll do? They'll drive by here. Oh, yeah. I'm talking about my Christian brothers and sisters. They'll drive by here. And they'll look up and they'll say, those people are pagans. I see statues of Egyptian images, and Exodus says, do not make graven images and likeness. And you know what I mean? They get people saying, yeah, some kind of a paganistic, ritualistic cult thing out there, maybe. You follow? And I turn around and say, well, excuse me, sir. But when I go to Washington, D.C., I see Abraham Lincoln sitting in a chair like Rameses III, a big old monument that you tell everybody to go see, and all the Christians don't realize that that's idol worship. I said, when you flip a dollar bill out your pocket and start looking at all of the pictures of them dead presidents, aren't those graven images? And if man was made in the image and after likeness of God, then any man's image you duplicate is in violation of do not make any graven images. So now, I want anybody here from any city that they construct to tell me a city you live in where there is no monument. They even got a rabbit down here in town. All the Christians should be saying, this rabbit has got to go. Because it's a violation. You with me? It's a violation of the holy book of the Bible, of Exodus, where God says that he is a jealous God. And that you should have, Matt, picture that, by the way. And that you should have no other gods before me. In the heavens above, on the earth, or beneath the earth. He went all the way. God took it all the way. Someone done flying, walking, or swimming. Looking like me. You understand? They come out here and see me on the wall and then see me looking at me. And I didn't carve an image of me and in the likeness of me. I say I'm God and they get mad. You follow? They call me a pagan. Some people out there are pagans. Look at Isis standing there. There's more to Isis than that statue. She's also body beautiful. Your father is something to go into the girls' minds. The image of a goddess standing there that looks like her. All these little kids here. If that bothers you, then give us one Negro for every white person on the dollar bill. And let's go around each city and every place you got statues of George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, Thomas Paine, and over there in Stone Mountain, honey, you got a whole wall of killers up there. A whole bunch of people who are massacring human beings, and you make it a monument, and the Christian world cannot see that there are people from the Confederates that worship those men. They have parades for them and holidays for them. And they dress up like them. They put on old gray suits and ride down the streets in horses. You know what that is? That's idol worship. Whether it's idol or idol, it's still a violation of your scripture. And you're going to drive by here and say, we're pagans? Because I want to look in a mirror and see me? Because you want me to look in the mirror and see you? They got women standing in the mirror with nappy hair doing it there. Trying to throw it back over their ear.
bleaching it, blowing it, burning it, straightening it, frying it, electrifying it, microwaving it, stretching it, weaving it, teasing it. What else? Touch ups, touch down. They go up, they go down. They want me and you to look in a mirror, but don't see us, to see them. And to see them as beautiful. They want me and you, and I'm talking about the religious sector, they want me and you to see God in their image and after their likeness and subliminally not realize that I'm seeing myself with that as the devil. If all that, as long as I continue to follow this guy. He's the devil. The Bible. It's called the devil of Babel. You know what I'm saying? They want that. They need that. But when this day and time comes, and it comes, 25,000 years, believe it or not, is not a long time that people have existed over 76 billion years. Anybody who's only existed for 6,000 years, 25,000 years seems like a long time to them. We've been around a long time. We done evoluted in every different direction and came back to what we look like. He's still moving in one direction, dying out daily. But he must maintain a certain amount of control. And he does it through religion. And where he misses religion, he does it through the cinema or the movies. Where he misses that, he does it through the radio. And where he does that, he does it through the education department. And he teaches your children to hate you. Not to hate you by hate, but hate the way you look and hate the way they look, plus hate you for breeding them that way. It's all subliminal. And then your child raises up and rebels against their mother and father. Don't want to be with their fathers. They all got Jacob and son, William and son, so-and-so and son. You don't have no niggas and sons. Every son wants to break away from what his father's doing and go off and do his own thing. You follow? So we're in a day and time where we got to collect our thoughts and start to do our own thing. Or as I simply say, put together our own stuff. In the Muslim world, they admitted that we were coming, but the Muslims don't even see it. Right in their Quran, they admit that somebody's coming, and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as they say, sending peace and blessings upon him, they say that Muhammad was a salvation to humanity. You hear me? The savior to the world, the answer to the problem. And the last revelation of their Quran, any ex-Muslims in there? Thank you. Then you know what I'm talking about. And the last revelation of their Quran says, إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحُ وَرَأَيْتَ النَّاسَ يَدْخُلُونَ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ أَفْوَاجًا فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ وَاسْتَغْفِرْهُ إِنَّهُ كَانَ تَوَّابًا. You know what that means? Either when Jah comes, نَصْرُ اللَّهِ, the help of Allah, وَالْفَتْحُ, that shall be the victorious opening. Now, if Muhammad was standing there with them, with me, and he was supposed to be the salvation to all humanity, why would his followers say, Muhammad, Mata Nasrullahi, Muhammad, when is the Nasr coming? He's standing there. In the Holy Quran, second chapter, 214, it said, Mata Nasrullahi, Muhammad, when is the help coming? He says, in the Nasrullahi Kareeb. Surely the help is near. He says it. That means he ain't it. You hear me? Christianity. Book of St. John. There are many things I have to say unto you. However, you can't bear them. Yet. I will send unto you another comforter. He shall not speak of himself, but only that which he hears shall he speak. And he shall glorify my holy name. That's not Jesus is talking. According to y'all. So now who's coming? A Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit. Jesus didn't say that. He said another comforter.
someone like himself, another company. He was standing there as a physical being. No, I'm not staging to say it's me for all you people waiting for the trap. That's not what I'm doing, so relax. I'm basically saying that he was admitting that he is not the Savior. So the Christians had to rewrite the story and say he's coming back. Right? And they've been waiting for 2,000 years for him to get back. But Jesus himself never makes that claim. Jesus himself was one who had to repent. You say, what? Yes, Jesus, God, had to repent. Just like Muhammad admits in the Quran that he sinned and had to repent. Write in your book of the Bible in Mark. You got a Bible? Chapter 1. Let's see what it says here in Mark chapter 1. John did baptize, verse 4, in the wilderness and preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sin. This is said in verse 4 after it speaks about John the Baptist baptizing Jesus in the Jordan River. Now, what was the purpose for the baptism? According to the Bible, I don't give a darn what your reverend or your teacher or your pastor would like to make you believe, because you don't want to stay by the word. Let's look at the word that you said you believe in, and let's see what it says. It says, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Right? As it is written in the prophets. They're talking about the book as it was recorded, okay? Behold, I send my messenger before the face, which shall prepare the way before thee. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make your path straight. End of verse 3. Boom. John did baptize in the wilderness and preached the baptism of the repentance for the remission of sin. They call it bet. And oia in Greek. Bet and oia. You know what it means? To change your mind. The word they have for repentance in their Greek Bible is not repentance, but to change your mind. Tell the reverend to look it up to find out it's true. If I proceed down this chapter, you know what's going to come down from 9? And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized of John in the Jordan. Why was Jesus baptized? For repentance, to have his mind changed according to the Greek. Why would God have to be baptized? Why would a person who was born sinless, conceived in heaven first, and then laid on earth in a manger, why would he have to repent? If he was God. Repentance didn't start there, you know. It started back here in Genesis. Way back here. Oh, yeah. You ain't gonna like that one. Let's see what it says. Oh, it gets in yellow. Need help. Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. Listen. And God, and here they use the word Elohim. They don't use the word Yahweh. They use the word Elohim, a plural. Even though they'll lie and say God with a big old capital G and then start talking about capital and small G's, which don't exist in Hebrew or in Greek. Big lie. And God saw the wickedness of man. Every imagination of his thoughts, of his heart, was only evil continuously, is what God saw. You hear me? This is Genesis chapter 6, right after the creation. Man, this all God saw in man, that every image in his imagination, everything about him was evil continuously. And, listen to this, and it repented, nachem, the Hebrew word. The same thing, to change your mind, to repent. And it repented the Lord, and here they used Yahweh. They stepped away from God. One of them stepped out and got mad, the one responsible for the creation. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him in his heart. Here,
God is repenting. So God was baptized. God, you're telling me, the all-knowing, all-wise, omnipresent, omnipotent being who knows the secrets of every man's heart according to Psalms, didn't know that Adam was going to become a bad boy. You understand that? And I'd like to ask another question. Did the horses sin in the garden? Yes or no? I may sound crazy, but I do need an answer. Did the horses sin? Did the goats sin? Did the chickens sin? So why were they drowned? Why was all of the beasts of the field, let me go on and see what it says. And the Lord, this is Yahweh, said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth. Check this out. You ready? Both man and beast. What does the word both mean? Two. Both means two. Both man and beast and the creeping things and the fowls. Is God having a mathematical problem here? He said both, and then he went on to name four things. That's like, I want all five of y'all to get up and put up two fingers. You read that? Listen to this. This is your Bible. I'm saying your Bible because I'll get to the end of that. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created. I would like to know who he's talking to if he's alone. You're following? You had to turn to somebody. He didn't say, I'm going to destroy you, so he wasn't talking to man. He wasn't talking to angels, because we'll get to that later. Whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and creeping thing and fowl of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. I am sorry I made them. Who is he talking to? Don't run back to the New Testament and give me the hype of rapture and a bunch of crap. Let's start in the beginning of the Bible and try to do word by word to see if we're getting a clear vision of the principles and nature of what God is about and who God is. What kind of nature is this? This same God in Genesis chapter 4 speaks with Cain. Cain killed Abel. Correct? Now, before Cain killed Abel, how many people, according to the Bible and the Quran, how many people, human beings, were on the planet Earth? Tell me. Four folks. Adam, Eve, Cain, and Abel. Nobody else was him. Nobody. You with that? According to the Bible. However, after Cain kills Abel, Cain tells God that he's afraid that whoever catches him is going to kill him. And God tells him, anyone that kills you or touches you, I'll put a sevenfold curse on them. Who is Cain and God talking about if the only people left on the planet is Adam, Eve, and Cain? Nobody else was here. So who was the Cain afraid to go out and meet? No one else was on the planet. You could say, well, this is a prediction of the future. No. Genesis chapter 3 says the man has become like one of us to know good from evil. Who is the one of us? Well, that's God and his divine principles. Talking in the plural, he means himself. It may sound like a joke, but it's not funny what they have done to our souls and our minds with this crap. And then when I stood beside Dr. Martin Luther King, right, and held it up, I'm talking to you Christians, and held it up down here in Selma, Alabama, in front of them and said, but we are Christians, they slapped the Bible out of there and said, your God ain't my God. Right? The KKK bases their whole doctrine on the book of Romans. If you study them. And then go out and burn you. And crucify you and castrate you. What do they put on your lawn? A pitchfork or a cross? The people that came over here, Christopher Columbus, were Christians who came over here when you were here as Native Americans living in peace. We were doing fine, for as they have on record, 10,000 B.C.E., before the Christian era, we were living here on this land in peace. Was no blood sacrifices. Was no wars amongst us. And the Christians came over here with their doctrine. You hear me? We were living in Morocco. We were living in Mauritania. We were living in Mali. We were living in Senegal and all of the southern Sahara in peace. You hear me? And then the Muslims invaded with Islam. Their religion. And we've been fighting each other. We have actually been convinced to kidnap each other and sell each other in slavery, as they call it, for money. You with me? And they hold up this book, the Bible, or they hold up the Quran to enslave your mind with some type of faith. You follow that? Blind faith. And the bad thing about it is someone like me who does his homework, masters the languages of these books, and starts to analyze them and say, well, I just want to talk to you about that book. I want to see if, Reverend, you really know what you're talking about. Because you can get up there and storm it, talk to the hummer, and talk to Holy Ghost bull crap. But do you know what you're talking about when it comes down to our souls? And what has this book done for me lately? Nothing. I'm still being abused. And I'm a man. I can stand up and I can retaliate. But I'm intelligent enough to try to work for law and order. And in that kindness and gentleness, I'm portrayed as weak. You follow? You had Reverend Sharpton have millions, look like millions of people marching across the bridge in New York. Right? So they walk from this end of the bridge to that end of the bridge, and then they disperse and go home. But that boy still lays in the hospital on critical. Nothing is done. That's called a peaceful display. But what happened to him is not a peaceful display. And I'm not supposed to get mad. And if I talk about it, I'm a rebel rouser or a troublemaker because I fear that my son may be subject to that kind of abuse. You hear me? And you can be convinced. Oh, that guy out there is a bad man. That nigga out there is trouble. They can convince you that I'm trouble. Because all I say to the reverend, I talk to any one of your reverend preachers, rabbis or imams, they've been running for me for 25 years. They've been ducking and hiding and bobbing, and all of them got my books. You look in your reverend's briefcase, and in there you're going to see me looking up.
Yeah.
All the Freemasons and Shriners are reading our books. Eastern Stars, Northern Lights too. Minister Farrakhan, open his briefcase. I'm looking up at him. Yahweh Ben Yahweh, Black Madonna, Rastafarian, everybody is reading our book, but none of them can see that this is that time, that incarnation time. Time to set the record straight. The kind of information that we are putting out is causing a traffic jam on the information highway. They can't even keep up with where we're coming from. And they're not supposed to, because it's your wake-up call. You can make up your mind to delve into these books, like the young man said, and I give you the opportunity. Don't believe me? Check me out. Say, I'm checking the nigga out. Nigga could be lying. Niggas lie. They lie well. But I'm saying it before, you have to do it and get this religious, well, I don't want to check you out because I believe in you. Nah, that's the game they used before. The reverend gets you so confident in him that when he opens up the Bible and makes a statement, you follow? You just believe in him. Say, nah, wait, let me get this straight now. Mary had a little lamb whose fleece was white as snow. Is that correct? Is that what you're telling me about Jesus and Mary? And this little lamb was born because God wanted to come down to earth. So he came to a woman. And he placed himself inside this woman. And then he gave birth to himself in a manger. And he called three wise men who didn't believe in his religion. And he also stirred the anger in Herod to want to kill him. And the wise men went to Herod, and then the wise men had to come back to Joseph and tell Joseph, watch out, because Herod wants to kill your son. And then God sent angels, listen, God sent angels to tell Joseph and Mary to take the little boy and go into Egypt. Correct? Is that the story? I thought the little boy was God. Now, if the little boy is God laying in the manger, then a little boy should lean up, like the Muslims say, talk from the cradle, which is crap, they made that up. But anyway, he should be able to lean up and say, Joe, let's get out of here. I mean, after all, this is God. Does he have a restriction? Can the baby God not get up or sit up, stretch, say, Joe, Mary, Herod's mad. He's intimidated by the fact that I maybe take his throne. Let's go hang out in Egypt for a while, you know. Couldn't he do that? Isn't he God? God is running from Herod. God is afraid to die. God was born to die on the cross for your sins, according to the scripture, and was supposed to die at age 33 on Mount Calvary. So that I could be saved, this was predestined, recorded in heaven before it happened on earth. If Jesus was going to die at 33, why was he running at birth? Could anybody have interfered with that if that was destiny? Could Herod have killed Jesus? Could the Nazarites have killed him when he ran through the crowd? Could the Jews have killed him when he was hiding? Somebody or Bates have been lying to you. And that's why we can't get out this state of mind. Because we are blinded by some type of hypnotic spell of stupidity. They got us numb into believing stuff that does not make sense. Some of y'all cried when you saw the movie E.T. Because a little rubber monster wanted to go home. Tell me about it. It was able to jump off the screen and touch your heart emotional because of a little freaky looking monster with a finger in the air called E.T. And all the people in town went and saw E.T., and then they're mad at me because I said, I'm a real one. I'm not a little green thing. Oh, he's crazy. But your sons and daughters were crying for a little monster whose head went up and down, spun around. You understand? Some of y'all are probably too young, but y'all people about my age. Remember the movie Psycho? You was afraid to close the shower curtain after watching that movie. I'm alive. The birds, people put their birds, the parakeets got infected. You got to go. You see a bunch of birds, you be thinking, where would I hide? They showed them flying through windows and tearing down doors. I've watched many of birds flop off a window. They can't do it, but they know that they can control the way we think and feel. So they can control the way you think and feel about me and I about you. You and me. They can actually alter our emotions and make us do things to each other. But when it comes to them, they can do anything to us and we don't do anything but march across the bridge. Stockton was going to get something to eat in Chinatown. He always marches where the people cook a lot of food. Marching into Little Italy where the Italians was to go to the pizza store. Now he's marching across the bridge to Chinatown to get some chop suey. But what about the brother who's now on critical diet? What about that fact? You with me? How long are we to absorb, or will you continue to absorb the crap? Haile Selassie was not Jesus. He was a nice little Ethiopian boy who sold his soul to the Queen of England. Now, if you don't know your own history, if you ain't been to Egypt, you got niggas walking around, ain't never been to Ethiopia. Now, Axum or Ethiopio, the Creole kind of name, Ethiopio, I. Now, Yahweh Ben Yahweh don't have any flying saucers. Nigga been in jail 7 years, the flying saucers ain't get here yet. You with me? How long are we going to be believing this stuff? Jesus is not coming. Hello? Wake up. A short time is not 2,000 years. He said, you see me now in St. John's, in a little while you see me again. Right? A little while is not 2,000 years. A little while is, how long will it be before my tea is ready? In a little while, honey. Okay. That's a little while. A 2,000-year-old cup of tea? Wake up. It's a fake promise. And the problem is not in the congregation. It's in the preacher who wants to keep that Cadillac full. He ain't no longer concerned whether or not this is the word of God or not. He's worried about that ting-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling. And Jesus, in this Bible here, according to you people, when he found people exchanging money in his father's house, what did he do? He went in and turned over the table and said, this is my father's house. Take this crap out. So how does a reverend stand up and pass out a cup in the house of God? And you want to know why churches are burning down? You want to know why all across Georgia Christian churches, predominantly black, are burning? Because they're doing mischief in the house of the Lord. And they're doing mischief in the name of the Lord. And Father, they're doing the works of what they themselves call the devil. It's the Christian preachers who say those people out there are crazy before they even come out here and shake my hand to welcome me into Georgia. Let me see if the man's crazy. Let me sit down and break bread with him. Ain't that the Christian way? Let me talk to the man and find out how crazy he is. I'm not the type of person who would take them apart on a first date. Y'all know I'm not that kind of guy. I'd be nice to the man the first date. But by the second date, I'm going to tell you a new one if you don't come right. Because you ain't going to teach this crap no more. Because it is not doing nothing for us. So now let's see what this does for us. Tell me, how do you feel? How do you feel inside knowing again? Isn't that a good feeling? Well, first it comes up and says, well, you know, you have to understand this Bible because it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And you as a Nuwapian say, you mean Elohim, don't you? And they go, no, I mean God. It says God. He said, but you mean Elohim because you're admitting that this Bible was originally Hebrew, right? You go, well, the Bible was Hebrew, that's right. So how do you say God in Hebrew? Jehovah. Say, no, not Jehovah. It's all over. Close the book up. Take back the crack. Does anybody have the Book of Leviathan with them? Page 664 and 665. Anybody have it? When you get to that page there, you're going to find that it says, they must get rid of Princess Di. They must get rid of Princess Di. Because she, with her children and her, would naturally become the prince. And the princes and the princess, and they got to stop that. Now, when I listened to the news last night, I heard them say, Princess Di was in a plane crash. And she had minor lacerations of the head. And one of her limbs were broken. They couldn't tell you what limb was broken while they were looking at her. 665 on part two. It says, they got rid of the two rulers. They got rid of Margaret Thatcher, a woman British Prime Minister from 1979 to November 22nd, 1990. And he replaced her with a male named John Majors. Now, listen close. Now they have to get rid of Princess Diana. Because by right, she's married to the prince, and she's the next princess to become the heir of the throne, the mystery harlot. They have to eliminate her. That's Revelation. How long ago was this book done? If you're looking for the other person, the other great person to die, he's sitting right here. Deng, his name is. He was the head of China, the prolonged communist. He also died this year. If y'all remember me telling y'all, we have two great people that must die this year. One male and one female. I said, I thought of Mother Teresa, but it wasn't fair because she was so old. But I said, I didn't see it clear enough, but the prophecy is fulfilled. I only point that out to tell you what we're doing today. Who's standing before you and why I'm here. Simply, as I say all the time, to set the record straight. These are confirmations for you if you are a doubter. Now I ask your preacher or your rabbi or imam to tell me next year what to expect. And log it down so I can find it. London is going underwater. It just gave us notice. That's also in our prophecies. London will not be here. You understand? They have a new mosquito carrying a bacteria. That's on the media today. I told y'all to get away from eating beef a long time ago. If you was listening to me, then you have nothing to worry about. Now they're talking about the poisons of fruit, the dangers of fruit. If you're listening to me, I do expect you to check out what I say. I don't want no blind faith. You're safe. If you don't listen to me, if you think you got it, then that's not my, then you're no longer my responsibility. Then I'm not your chief. If I'm your chief, then you respect what I suggest to you. I'm not going to tell you to do nothing wrong. I am telling you that we're coming to that day and time where y'all got to inherit some courage. Because you're going to have to stand up and tell them who you are, not ask them. You have to tell them where you come from. A young man asked, he said, what about me? He said, I'm from a Latino birth. How do I identify who I am? I told y'all very simply, they record three races on the planet, right? Name them. Negroid, Mongoloid, and Caucasoid, and in that order. And they give you descriptions of each of those races, correct? And the first race, and that has been proven to exist on the planet, is what they refer to as the Negroid. This is a fact. Scientists are no longer in doubt about who was first. Pigmentation, melanin, everything says you were on the planet first, which means you own the planet. Not, you don't own just America, you also own Europe. If you were here first, that's what he says in his law. That's why he creates the word indigenous. Indigenous means I was here first. Now, Oriental and, which is called Mongoloid, mixed with us. And all the races that are still Moors and Nuapians are in between that. You follow that? If you travel through the tribes of the Native Americans, all down through the islands of the Caribbeans, all the Ararats, all of these people, Konya, they're all people who came from Ormax and Mongoloid mixture. You with me? Nothing else. There's no such thing as the East Indians. Or the Malaysians. They are all under those three races genetically. You can check the blood types and trace it. So you are more as any other more in here. And everybody from Puerto Rico, Cuba, from Santo Domingo, from Panama, you are all Native Americans and Moors. With no question or doubt. Unless they can produce some new scientific data that the etymologists use other than facts. And they will try. They will come up with information, introduce it to you, and it don't even have to be right, and half of y'all niggas will believe it. I mean, ain't no such thing as a tribe of Shabazz. Malcolm X died carrying a name that doesn't even exist, doesn't have a nationality or national origin or anywhere. Nothing can be proven. The man lost his life under the name Shabazz, a fake name. It's not even going to be in St. Peter's Book of the Game. You hear me? We come back around every certain amount of thousands of years of abuse. The divinity inside of you says, I am fed up. I am tired. I need the truth again. And sometimes that truth hurts because you may be the son or the daughter of a pastor. You may be a pastor yourself. You may be a reverend, imam, a Muslim, Christian. And it hurts. But you got to make up your mind. Do you want the truth or not? That's all. That's what it's about. Do you want the truth or not? If you want the truth, you go after it. A-S-K is the key words. Ask, and it shall be given. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and the door shall be opened unto you. You can't sit inside of a church and listen to it. You got to ask. The first letter is A-S-K. Ask him. So when the reverend starts to preach and say, Reverend, I prefer you to start the teaching. I don't mind the preaching, but do the preaching after you do the teaching so I know what you're preaching about. But if you get up there and just start preaching and you don't start teaching, I ain't got nothing to go on but faith. I don't want no more faith. I want some facts.
I want to go in the closet and find the toys on Christmas Eve. I'm tired of waiting until Christmas morning. They're already in the house. Why not? Facts are already here. Why can't I have them? And why am I such a bad person? Because I don't like what you do to me. Because I walk into a restaurant and I don't get fair service. I walk into a store, you ask me, can I help you? Want to escort me around like I'm a thief. And then you want to know whether or not McVeigh is crazy. McVeigh could walk in any restaurant and get treated well. McVeigh, you know what I'm talking about, Timothy. Or Jeffrey Dahmer, which probably didn't frequent restaurants. He had his own personal restaurant. But Jeffrey Dahmer could walk into a supermarket or a clothes store downtown Atlanta anymore and nobody even give him a second look. But you can put on a three-piece mohair suit, silk suit, and walk in. They'll still walk over to you. Can I help you? Yeah, you get the hell out of my face. And when you do that there, you're an arrogant nigger. They don't seem to be sensitive enough to realize what they're creating out of us. They don't realize what they're making. A new person is being born. I'm tired of it. In simple, plain vulgarity. I'm tired of it. If you can't prove it, don't tell me it. And brother, reverend, shut up. Shut up until you go into this book by cover, the beginning of the cover. Don't be walking up and giving me no New Testament. God don't have to renew nothing. Doesn't God know from the Old Testament what he wants to say? Why must he say, now there's a new one? God don't need to renew. God sends renewers into earth, people who come down to communicate his message. If you are a God-believing person or a God-fearing person, as they put it. You hear me? But the crap, they got to take it back.
We will continue with the man of the hour, Dr. Malachi G. York, the reformer for this day and time, right after these messages on WGAG Radio.
Don the Coleon Show with the Ghost Brothers. What's happening? I'm Juwan Mann.
I'm Daylon Spratt.
And I'm Marcus Harvey.
And we're the Ghost Brothers.
Tune in to Destination America, man, April 15th at 10 p.m. It's every Friday, 10 p.m. 9 Central. Don the Coleon Show with the Ghost Brothers. What's happening? I'm Juwan Mann.
I'm Daylon Spratt.
And I'm Marcus Harvey.
And we're the Ghost Brothers.
Tune in to Destination America, man, April 15th at 10 p.m. It's every Friday, 10 p.m., 9 Central.
Ghost Brothers. There's a new team of paranormal investigators here to answer two questions about ghost hunting. Are ghosts for real? And
why is everybody white?
Oh my God.
If you are here, please reveal yourself.
I'm Daylon, the leader of the group. We're three best friends who all had paranormal experiences as kids. Now that we're grown, we're not afraid to look for answers.
Bro, I can see why they say black folks don't do this stuff.
It's hot, man.
Yo, this is not no Magic Mike, dog.
I'm Juwan, and I'm a ghost brother.
Are you okay with us working together
as equals?
We know what happens in every horror movie when the brother's by himself.
My name is Marcus, and I'm a ghost brother.
Time to pop the trunk on these ghosts, you all right?
It's just wires and cobwebs, homie.
You are not welcomed on this property. Our mission is to hit the most haunted locations in America to prove that ghosts are for real.
What?
We are
the Ghost Brothers.
All Eyes on Egypt presents the Holy Tablets, backed by popular demand. Written and transcribed by Dr. Malachi Zodok Yokel, the receiver. This is the scripture that is divinely inspired that will bring about a long overdue change. like the phoenix bird rising up out of its ashes. Up, you mighty people, come forth like Lazarus from the tomb. This tablet is food to feed the hunger and to nourish the soul, to give it strength. Rise up, stand up, be counted amongst the people of this world. Be the first to get your copy of the Holy Tablets while supplies last. At All Eyes on Egypt, Monticello, Georgia, 706-468-2319.
Tune in to the El Holy Tablet Show every Friday and Saturday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on WGAG Radio. Now welcome back to the Man of the Hour.
The government put in place a period called the Period of Indigenous People, and that started in 1992, and it ended in the year 2000. And a lot of people don't even know that because they only passed it, you know, to certain people. Now, the problem is, the full promise of 40 acres and a mule was done before we populated to the point where if they gave us 40 acres, there'd be no more acreage. And they don't have that many mules. So what they do is, if you are a nation of people, not like I said last night, not when you say we're a nation of 5% or we're a nation of Islam, that's a religious nation that has nothing to do with setting up your government as Native Americans. You follow what I'm saying? So when you go before Washington that links into the international state, there's a government other than the government of this country, all right, where the League of Nations was set up. The League of Nations preceded the United Nations. And when the United Nations was set up, the League of Nations of countries just said, I just don't want to be a part of that. I'm not interested in trying to control everybody's mind. This is what the so-called New World Order is about, trying to get everybody in the state of, under one type of mentality. And we as Native Americans are not interested in your form of government. I respect your form of government for you, but it doesn't apply to me. For instance, if I was a Muslim, correct, born and raised a Muslim, how can I function in America properly if the Quran says I can have four wives and America says that's a violation of the law? If it tells me that I'm not allowed to use usury, which means I can't make a profit, how can I invest and survive when Islam tells me I can't make a profit? So it is wise for Muslims to live in Muslim countries where the Sharia, the laws that surround them work for them. So we as Native Americans, we have our own laws. We always have. And they came here where we were, your father, took over, took our constitution, thanks to the Iroquois who gave it to them, rewrote it, and butchered us up. I'll get to your question now, because I just want to show you the picture. So what happens is, when you become wise enough to stand up and rectify all of their errors, their greatest fear is you making this everybody's problem. They're not interested in everybody. But if the people in Louisiana under the Empress of the Ouachita petition and they get it, and the people of the Shoshone and the Seminole won't petition. They're in another whole world. They don't petition to nobody. They're still at war, right? The Shinnecock petition and several other tribes petition, and they got it. It's the tribes that won't petition, and it's not a plea, and it's not a request. It's a statement that the whole world knows and recognizes. So they're basically saying, if you want your indigenousness, just don't go around putting signs up to wake up every dumb nigger, or every dumb Caucasian, or every dumb Latino, and tell them, today you can become nation. And they're all running here just because they don't want to pay tax, or just because, and they're mad at the government. I'm not mad at America. America's mine. How can I be mad at it? All right. You know what I'm saying? And we've been made psychologically to get mad at the country as if, you know what I'm saying, we're mad at the people. The country is not a people. The country is made up of people. And when we go back and start doing some research, we find out that the oldest faces found here are the Olmecs. And that the root of Olmec is El Melek. Right? When you go back to the language that the people, when you say the word Moor, don't get Moorish Science Temple of America and Moroccan Moors mixed up with Morenos, a term that the Latins used to describe the Olmecs. You follow what I'm trying to say? that. So what she's saying is, you don't go around telling everybody, see, I'm this, and you cause them to have to enact new laws. And they will put a law into effect knowing it's unconstitutional. You with me?
Yeah.
And then, after everybody adjusts to that law, then they'll come back in, remove it, and don't give it as much public as they did. For instance, the Brady Law is unconstitutional. The Constitution says you have the right to bear arms. It doesn't say you have the right to get an AK-47 and shoot people. It says you have a right to bear arms to protect your family. We have deers that live here, you follow that, that will attack you. Most people don't know that more people get killed by deers than car accidents. Because everybody's under the illusion that deers are Bambi. So they walk up to the deer, and the deer literally whips you. But most city folk don't have no idea of the dangers of living in the woods. So you do need weapons to defend yourself. You don't need it in New York City or in Atlanta. Well, I guess you do. Well, it's a different kind of deer walking around New York City and Atlanta. He just doesn't have an antlers. He has an attitude. But actually, the Brady Law was torn down as of today. It's no longer in effect. Now think about that. When they passed it, they made us all hear it and know it. And if I went to buy a gun, I had to wait 6 days in a total investigation. But today, they introduced it that it's been pulled back. And they're not talking about it all the place. Now the law to buy a gun is no longer in effect where they got to interview or have to go check it to the computer. Did they make that a big thing? No. See, that's the game they use. You have a right to petition a law against the Constitution, against anything, not you, anybody in this country. And they will consider that law and sometimes preemptively send that law through because it's best for the people for the moment. But then they have to come back when people who are strict to the Constitution say, well, according to such and such a Constitution, Article so-and-so, amending so-and-so and such, you don't have that right. And they go, okay, they just back off and try something else. You have the right to tear up the flag, you know.
True.
You do have the right to tear up the flag. You don't have the right to burn it or spit on it. You know why you have the right to tear up the flag? Because the flag, if it becomes desecrated, dirty, or abused, then rather than have a raggedy, dirty flag flying, you have the right to take it down and destroy it. But you don't have the right to abuse the American flag, which is not the American flag, by the way. The red, white, and blue flag is not the American flag. Do you know that? The American flag is blue and white, and the lines are not horizontal, they're vertical. And in the upper left-hand corner is a box, and it has the Coast Guard symbol. That is the real American flag. And if you go research it, you'll find that that's called the peacetime flag. This flag flew during a war, and because this flag survived till the morning, and that's in an anthem that you say, you know what I'm talking about? What is it? Star Spangled Banner. That's when the war flag went into effect. That is not the flag of peace. That's the flag of war. And when they add the gold trimming on it, it becomes martial or strictly military. And should be in any courtroom you go into because you are a product of abuse by way of kidnapping. Not a slavery. You cannot be a slave because you're not Slavic. The word Slavic is the word slave. And there were Slavics who were enslaved. But there's no Slavics in this pavilion today. You understand? So you can't be a slave. So now, once we eliminate the use of the word slave, I ask again, so what was that situation that took place in the 14th, 15th, and 16th century? I need a new name for it. Because slave does not apply to me. Bondage is a biblical term. And you separate religion from state, and I'm dealing with a state situation, so I'm not interested in the Bible in the 400 years or 430 years. That's religious rhetoric and has nothing to do with government, so bondage goes out the door. What did you do to me? Now, and let me get something straight, because most of you don't consider Portuguese white people. You follow that? You don't. You consider Portuguese Portuguese. Correct? And then you're mad at blonde-haired, blue-eyed people all the time. There's no history Get this in your mind, please. There's no history, no fact ever of blonde-haired, blue-eyed people ever doing anything to you. But some man pushed blonde-haired, blue-eyed early in the 30s, and from then on, every time you're a white, blue, blonde-haired, blue-eyed devil. The Portuguese do not have blonde hair and blue eyes. Neither did John Hawkins. Neither did Prince Henry, the navigator. And neither did all of those people in Zanzibar who were Muslims, who were dark like you, who sold you. You are mad without a reason. And that is to get you off balance, to make you stop thinking. Get you mad at another race. Focus your attention in the wrong way. All white people live, all white. It's very convenient when you're insecure because you don't want to stay in school and you want to have a reason or a justification for your own failures because you want to go party or hang out in a cafeteria. You know what I'm saying? Or chase the girls or listen to music or do something, you know, something that's worthless. So you have to justify when you didn't succeed, so you say, well, I was playing no equal opportunity here. That's what the white man did this to me. And that ain't real. Otherwise, there'd be no Colin Powell. Well, Colin Powell's a devil. He wasn't born a devil. He had to work his way up there, didn't he? If he got up to the point where he could become the most sophisticated officer in the military in this country, don't tell me there's no place for you. Now, Clarence Thomas is a sellout. He had to get there to become the sellout. Wake up. So how did he get there? So why not get there and not be the sellout? Wouldn't that be a heck of a lot easier? Than standing back there talking about what he did wrong? So that's all part of a plot that we, as Nuwapians, are going to change. See, they never heard the word Nuwapian before. And that's what's important. Because had they heard the word Nuwapian before, they wouldn't have to wait to ask you what does it apply to. You understand what I'm saying? When they hear Nuwapian, they say to you, what is that? What's your religion? What do you all believe? And they want you to give them a dialogue. Well, God did this, or revolution this, or anti-government this, so that they can immediately classify you. Oh, I got it. You're a religious kind of guy. So what do you believe in? Oh, you believe in God? And when they throw out the word God, they want you to either say, no, no, I don't believe in God. I believe in Allah. I say, okay, Muslim. No, I don't believe in no God. I believe in Jehovah. Oh, Jehovah's Witness. No, I don't believe in no God. I believe in Yahweh. Oh, I see Israel. No, I don't believe in no God. They're waiting for that so that they can classify you. When you say, I knew, they go, who? And who? Who and who? They go back to Samaria. And because they've never got a good grasp on Sumerian doctrine, they go, I don't understand. You say, what's a new? You say, well, a new, you know, the Most High. Oh, the Most High God? No. As soon as you say the Most High God, oh, I see, okay. This God is a religious thing, all right. When it's the reason why the elders gave you a word that they didn't know, it's because they're not supposed to know unless they ask you. And now the problem comes in with when they ask you, how do you answer? Are you going to answer correctly? Or are you going to go off because you're still mad because of the Islamic influence and the revolutionary of the 60s, but you still want to blame everything on white people? So are you going to go off and we the Nuwapian North, and we the, you know, us black folks are non-Eastern, you know, you're going to do all that, you know, that ignorance, you know what I'm saying? Or are you going to get out there, your father, understand your teaching, and tell people, you know what I'm saying? We are an answer to your problem. And then you look in this room, like I said, this hip-hop is sitting up in this room, that gave up hip-hop, not the music, but the culture, to find their way to Nuwapo for a better thing. You know what I'm saying? And of course, people are not going to like you. I keep telling you that this is very important. Muslims are going to hate me. Why? Because their whole objective is to make as many people Muslims as they can. They're so busy calling America the beast, talking about the New World Order, American Shaitan. They're doing the exact same thing. They want everybody to be Muslim.
So if you want everybody to be Muslim, aren't you a New World Order also? If you want everybody to be Jehovah's Witness, aren't you just as much of a problem as the Illuminati, as you say, or any other group that's trying to make everybody what they are? I don't advocate love everybody. That's an illusion. And it causes confusion. And it just doesn't work. You can love and you can hate. That's balance. You like and you dislike. That's balance. You don't drink all hot liquids. And you don't drink all cold liquids. There's a time to drink hot liquids and there's a time to drink cold liquids. There's a time to love and there's a time to hate. God hates. But you got to be religious. If he didn't hate, he wouldn't have blew up them cities. You have to blow up a whole city and kill thousands of people, you can't like them. So the answer is, you got to go forth right and exact. You know what I'm saying? Get rid of the crap, because that's what's holding everybody back. You follow me? Anybody else got a question? Yeah. Talk to me. A third article, right? No, not yet. When you speak about judges, the reason why taxes appear to be there is because you may not believe it, but if you're my boss, I can't judge you. You understand? Let me say that again. If I pay your salary and you work for me, how can you judge me? So there are judges in this country that are on salary based on the tax. And there are judges in this country that are not on salary based on the Federal Reserve. You understand? Third article judges in the first book that I gave you, or that blue one, if you read it, you'll find out. They say a third article judge is called in when a habeas corpus is written up, which is referred to as a writ. That means when the court went into session and everything that was supposed to be said and done was supposed to be done in order, and that's why there's a gavel there. Now a judge has a gavel sitting up on his desk. That's like the whistle on the tennis court. He goes, and the game starts. You with me?
Yes, sir.
That judge goes, bam, court is now in session. In other words, let the game go. That's what a court is. A court is a place where games are played. And only people who are smart enough to become umpires or refs know the real rules of the game. The person that walks up, how many of y'all people bowl? How many of y'all people went bowling the first time with a relative and just start throwing the ball all down in the gutter, every place, and a couple of times had the nerve to get strikes? But then, when someone said to you, whoa, that's not how you're supposed to bowl. You're going to put three fingers in, hold them around over here, see them dots over there, take three steps, get your foot bounce, and hold, don't let the ball swing, so go into New York or whatever. Ready? And well, and if the gate gave you up, by the time they gave you all that stuff, you couldn't get the ball down the lane. You was throwing balls, going backwards and stuff. Right? The person who knows the game is the person who's empire in the game. You understand? The guy who's sitting on the side of the tennis court like this, watching what's happening, he knows the rules and regulations of the game. And if you have any sense at all, before you get on the tennis court, you become a judge. Why would you become a judge? Because you know what they feel. You know what they're thinking. You know when they're going to make a call. You know when the player intimidates them and gets them mad. You know, anytime you walk into a court in this country without a suit and a tie on, you have already violated the law. There is a law that you come to the court or the game in tennis shorts. Did you know that? That you're supposed to wear a dark suit, a white shirt, and a striped red, white, and blue tie when you go to court. That's the law of the court. So when you go in there thinking that you're doing something by going there doing your thing, you start off with a mark against you because you are out of uniform for a court proceedings. And the judge usually looks at you and basically says that. He just goes. You know what I'm saying? And then you look like, then you say to your man, oh man, we ain't got a chance. Like it's just like it's his fault. Man, we ain't got a chance. Then you got the fool who thinks he's a Freemason and somebody told him some silly ritual. Like, you know what I'm saying? He's walking down and he goes like this. And the judge was thinking about giving him 1 year. He did this. He just said, three years. The judge thought you were trying to tell him something. There's a system, and we are on the outside of that system. And this is why we keep blaming everybody for everything that happens to us. Because we're on the outside. We won't get involved. I'm not telling you to become no politician. I don't care what party you vote for, Democrat or Republican, it's your business. But know the law that you live under. So you know your rights if you are going to subscribe to that principle. But we as Native Americans, indigenous people of this land, whether you call yourself a Nubian, a Hebrew, a Muslim, all those are religious, nice, quick names. When you go down to your nationality, your father, it is important for you to investigate every time that word is used. If they say morenos, nigga, whatever term they use when they're writing that record, you should be studying that because it applies to you. And you find out that most of the things that happen to you, you let happen because you don't know the law. You follow what I'm saying?
Yes.
So you are entitled to a third honorable judge if you acknowledge yourself as not a 13th, but a 14th Amendment person. If you're a 13th Amendment person, you fully keep using that 13th Amendment gave me my rights. The rights you're talking about is the Emancipation Proclamation for the freeing of slaves. Hello?
Hello?
No Slavics in here. No slaves. So the 13th Amendment does not apply to you. Abraham Lincoln was under pressure. That's why he signed it from foreign governments that were going to attack him because of their Moors, because of the Malians that was in the country that were not supposed to be taken into bondage. And if you read the documents, you'll find those articles that a group of people called the Watchmen.
Mm-hmm.
The Watchmen broke off from the police department. Sound familiar?
Mm-hmm.
What did it sound like? A new prime military group that breaks away from the police department and does their own law?
Militia.
Not militia. Militia, believe it or not, is legal. And I'll talk to you about it if you bring it up again. Huh? Red Dogs. These new, SWAT.
SWAT team. Red Dogs.
Yeah.
Listen.
The police watching.
I'm going to name something.
All right?
What is alcohol? An intoxicant substance or a medicine used for a cure, a ethic substance,
mm-hmm.
Right? Okay. A T F. What does that abbreviate? All right. Why, if there's a hold up at a convenience store, is the ATF there? Are they there to count the amount of alcohol that's being stolen? Are they there because someone got a firearm in fact when it's legal? Why are they there? Because they're a paramilitary group put up, a fake society that goes off and does things that the government can apologize for, like Waco. They say, oh, wow. I don't know if y'all went into it. They said, oh, we got misinformation. We heard, go ahead and burn the place up. And someone said, go ahead and go home. Forget it. But we didn't hear that. So they went in and burned. You know this Janet Reno was saying we didn't hear that? She sent the word down to burn the people up when the word was really go home and forget it. It's just a religious group. And like I said last night, if they're a religious group, they're separate from state. So David Koresh can call himself anything he wants. He can call himself an ice cream sandwich. That is his prerogative if he's a religious person. So when he has to do a state. So these groups are set up to try to cause chaos, to intimidate. But if you recognize or fall under that 13th Amendment or under their laws, then you are subject to that abuse. If not, you fall under a group of people called Moors, French Moor, Morenos. You follow that? This is being used simply because it's on paper. It's on treaties. It's on documents. Morocco, Mauritania, the French version of it and the Latin word of it. You follow? What else? Yes, brother? Please stand up, you know, so I can hear you. Of the Constitution, it's finished. It's just that we had so many books trying to get out this year for y'all that the one that set the record straight, make that your first Bible. I don't mean in a religious kind of sense. Want to pass that book up? Read this book and really get into what I'm saying. And go back and read that blue book and Constitution and study it the way you study books that you like when you want to go out and bust people up and look heavy. Is there a book? This book here is another level of information.
Yes, it is.
The Father, it gives you the documents. It talks about the watchmen, who put that society together, and what the watch... I was going down that road and got sidetracked. What the watchmen were doing under the name Sears and Roebuck, believe it or not, created a catalog to sell people. With me? Sears and Roebuck's catalog, I want to repeat it. Sears and Roebuck, here you go, brother, had a catalog to sell people. Now, they had to put a group of men together that was going around kidnapping stray Morenos and mixing them in with the Negra that was already in captivity. The ones that came from Africa, they were calling Negra. The ones that mixed with the Africans and the Moors became known as Negra Morenos or Morenos Negra. Or with the more science devil says, it's black or more. If you need to hear that, it's saying black twice. That's any mixture. You follow that? And then you had the Moors. Now, in the petitions, and you read in that book, it says no mulattoes are allowed. Whenever you hear the word mulatto, step back because Arabs are involved, because mulatto is an Arabic word, molet. It deals with the word for birth. You understand? And when the petition was made with George Washington for Moors, who were navigators at the time, just not all of them were navigators, those Moors that were navigators, to come here to circle America with a fleet, this is in the book, research it, they said, don't send any mulattoes. Meaning we don't want to get the light-skinned Moors mixed up with the dark-skinned Moors. You follow? So the Moroccans you see today were not coming. Only, and I have a picture of the military in there, and you'll see them in London, I mean in France marching, the whole fleet that came. They're in there. You follow? But because they look like the Malians who had sailed here, Kankan, Mansa Musa, and them before, they look the same. Just like in this room, when I go to Trinidad, or you go to Trinidad, you go to Jamaica, or you go to Puerto Rico, you can blend right in, you know. The only thing that might distinguish you is you might start speaking Spanish or not speaking Spanish, but say, well, where you from? You know what I'm saying? This is done. Or any person who's from Puerto Rico could go to Morocco and blend right in, and somebody starts speaking to them in Arabic, and they'll go, don't speak Arabic, where are you from? And they say, I'm from, you know, Cuba or Mexico. They'll go, oh. They won't know. It was a melting pot. This was convenient. When selling people became profitable, you follow? And I ran out of fresh produce, meaning I started getting deformed slaves who were being battered and beaten in the passageway from Africa here. You see? They were deformed, broken arms, broken limbs, sick. Now, when you go into a vegetable store and you want to pick out tomatoes, do you reach for the bad tomatoes or the good ones?
No.
Usually now, this is amazing, If you go into a large store, they have the good tomatoes here and the bad ones right there. They have different grades of tomatoes. These are the ones a little soft for y'all who want to spend a little bit of money. And these are good tomatoes. And you can reach in the bad ones every now and then and go, well, shoot. You know, there's a good tomato. And you didn't think you did something. Well, what happened is, when through the passage and the abuse, many of the slaves were deformed or beat up, mainly. I shouldn't use the word slave. Many of those kidnappees were abused. What'd they do? The watchmen were sent out as watchmen. And they watched the Moors at any gathering you had. And they saw you had nobility. You walked around with your fez on, this here one. You wore a title bush to all noble events. You wore a fez daily. You follow that?
Yeah.
And usually in the crimson color. And they would go there, and they would see the ones with all that, or very, what they refer to as Malian, or Uganda, or Timbuktu features. And they go, you, you, you. And they write this down for their catalog. What would they do then? Is kidnap you, take away everything from you, and put you amongst the slaves, imprison you, abuse you to a point, not to the point of damage, and then put you on a slave block. I have to use slave block here because that's what they called it. And sold you. And then what happened is it became mixed up. Here is why, if you look around, you see every kind of feature that you can think of. There's nobody here that can say, well, I personally come from this part of South Africa, in this island, in this spot. You don't know. If you look at people from Puerto Rico and you say, who is a Puerto Rican? A real Puerto Rican stand up. Or everybody who stand up, and we're not talking about skin color, we're not talking about hair texture, we're talking about nose shape, lip shape, eye shape, cheekbone, chin shape, forehead shape. They all be the same color. You can put people in an environment long enough, everybody become the same color. But the characteristics are different. And that tells you that different tribes have been mixing together. If you go to Africa, you go into Sudan, you don't see one Suwai. If everybody there is Sudanese, then everybody should look the
same.
Why does everybody look different? Why is all these different features, different hair textures? Because of the melting. So they knew that. So they was able to mix the slaves and mix the kidnappees and mix the the slaves and the migrants who came on their own. That's why there's a 13th and 14th Amendment citizen. You understand me? And 14th Amendment citizens have a second type of citizenship. They came here and they're really sovereign people. And they just got taken and mixed in. It doesn't mean that the people of Africa don't have no rights. They also have their rights because they came here before anybody came here. They walked across here before there was continental drift. They just came from Uganda and settled here and became known as Almack, because Almack means rubber people, and they brought the tree, the plant of rubber, because they use it in their rituals. Huh? You did. So now you light-skinned, you're wavy-haired, you're curly-haired, you're long nose, you're wide nose, you're dark-skinned, and you're divided against yourself. If in your soul, in your spirit, there's a desire to become conscious, then the outer manifestation of your appearance has nothing whatsoever to do with it. Because when I play drums last night, I'm looking at people darker than me with no rhythm. Walk up on that stage with no rhythm. And they got the nerve to say, white people ain't got no soul. I'm like, homeboy here, you know what I'm saying? He's you know, bordering on Match Roots. He's not even black no more. This nigga is Bolak. And he can't play the drum. And then some other guy comes up here, light skin, with straight hair. You understand? And gets on the drum. And all of y'all are going, all right. Why are you saying all right? Because you was looking at the brother who's light-skinned to get up there and not have a rhythm, and the brother was dark-skinned to get up there and have a rhythm, but Gene played a trick on you. It don't mean a damn thing anymore. It's over. So cut the crap. And form your own nation where you control the things that happen to you. You have that right. If they want to go religious, you say you have that God-given right to make them feel better. Now we always have to ask, who's God are they talking about? They got so many of them. You understand? Yes. Okay. First of all and foremost, once you set up your own, once you become a part of an indigenous nation, they have what's called an Interpol. That's called the International Police Department. That's the only ones that can touch you. However, if you violate a federal law, then you go into international jurisdiction. And let me tell you how ugly that could get. You could join in the United Nwafi Nation of Moors and then go out and sell drugs. Okay. If you get busted, instead of you going to prison and doing time, you go into a place where people have no nationality and you spend the rest of your life there. Because no country will claim you, so you can't be judged, and you can't be judged without a nationality, because you have to have rights to have a nationality. And when, remember, they ask you, what? Do you know your rights? How do you know they say that? Because they say you have the right to remain silent. When they make that statement, they're assuming that you know your rights, something you didn't study. But they say you have the right to remain silent. You go, anything you say can and will be used against you in a court of law. You have a right. You have a right to an attorney. If you can't afford one, court will supply you with one. Then they say to you, do you understand? What do you say? That's when you violate your own rights. Because the first statement was, you have a right to remain silent. When you answer, I do, you gave up your rights. When you walk into their domain and ask for a free telephone call, you are now indebted to the state. Because you're in their department, using their phone, so they're no longer your boss. When they ask you, they don't ask you, are you guilty or not guilty? They ask you, what is your plea? Plead to me. And once you plead to him, you are no longer his boss by virtue of the fact that you pay tax that puts him in there, but you become the subject. You say, I don't plead. Mm-hmm. I have an explanation. And then you proceed with your rights. Now, if you are wrong, nobody can help you. Not even us. If you went out and transported drugs across the state line, there's nothing we could do, because if you was a foreigner that came to the country and did that, the same thing would happen to you. You'd be in violation of the law. And nobody, your government can't help you. If you run down some woman on the street with your car because you are intoxicated, right, there's nothing I can do to help you. No one can do to help you. That's international law. You follow? So it won't mean nothing if you got a bunch of federal offenses up on your back. It won't mean a thing. All right? But if you will not, inside here would have to be. You will not, you follow? You made me lose my thought. You will not be able to succeed as a nation as long as you allow people in the nation that intend to go out and violate the laws of the country in which you live in. If you intend to go out and do bad things, don't come join the nation and try to destroy it for all of us who made up our mind that we have no intention of violating the law. We want to respect the law of the government under which we live. We don't want to be classified as a religion, and that's why we said we are a fraternity. Because the moment you become religious, you become a cult. If you're not what they call a standard American religion. So we said we're not a religion. We still became a cult. But that means the fraternity of firemen, the fraternity of doctors, the Masonic Lodge, Knights of Columbus, Elks, Eastern Stars, all the rest of them is also a cult. So if we stay in the under the umbrella of fraternity, it's not as easy for them to justify sending out these paramilitary groups to hurt you. You understand? And if you're not violating the law and you're doing everything according to our family guidebook, trying your best, there's no reason for you to encounter police. If you're driving where it says 55 miles an hour, then damn it, do 55 miles an hour. You follow what I'm saying? There's nothing wrong with drinking a little beer. Just don't get drunk. Because when you get drunk, what could happen? You lose control. The beer controls you, and you might go do something that you're very sorry for. We want a society that does not intentionally violate the law. Why did I say intentionally? Because I know a lot of Arabs don't like me because I was born a Muslim. I know a lot of Muslim niggers don't like me because their Arab slave master said don't like me. Just because of that. They don't know me as their brother or their friend. But because some Sunni Arab from Egypt said don't like him, they don't like me. And Egypt got their country. Oh, got our country. They got their religion. They got their stuff. But they're mad because I'm over here. And let's assume that I said this year we are going to Egypt. Now, don't front for the women, all right? All right? You with me? Don't front now. If I said we're going to Egypt and we're going to spend a four-day vacation in Egypt, means we got to fly out of Kennedy or whatever airport, meet in Heathrow in London, transfer to another plane and fly into Egypt. That's how much money? A whole lot. That's a good word, but a good number too. A lot. Then we got to stay in hotels. How much money? A lot. And we got to eat in restaurants. And we must drink mineral water or we might catch a number of diseases. Because you know that, right? How much is that?
A lot.
Then we got to get tour buses to take us to the pyramids and pay them. You with me? So now, we want to touch base with Egypt. But when I get into Egypt, because I'm not a Muslim any longer, I got to worry about Muslims saying, we don't want y'all here. You know, they tried to kill Dr. Ben, you know. Mm-hmm. The Muslims tried to kill Dr. Ben. They had to cancel their trip to Egypt. That's why we canceled ours. Because they don't want you coming over there to visit the pyramids. Because it predates their belief. You follow that? And because of that, they don't want you there. And anybody that advocates it, they think it's justified. They think Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling them it's all right to kill anybody who don't believe what they believe. They're making Allah a party to their weaknesses. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-aliyu. He's al-alimu. He knows everything and he's above all things. He don't need you going out killing people for him. He makes rain, hail, snow, and earthquakes. No doubt about it. I'm saying that if a Muslim was a Muslim and understood the terminology, Allahu Akbar, the takbir, Allahu Akbar, Allah is the biggest, the most boundless, or the greatest. What?
Right.
You know how silly it is for Nasir to go kill somebody?
Right.
To think that he has the kind of relationship with Allah, that Allah put him in his confidence and said, I need you to do me a favor. I need you to go kill this rabbi because he causes too much trouble. Do you know what you're doing?
Right.
You're making Allah look like he doesn't have the power to do it. And Allah can do... You understand what I'm saying? So you got people that get trained in their spirit and their soul to hurt people like me. Because I can't do that, so I said, hey, I promised y'all that I was going to take y'all to Egypt. Right? And I know it could be dangerous, so I took Egypt to y'all. I don't know if anything is wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with
that. I'm saying that for a reason. But it can cause me to violate the law. That's why I said unintentionally. You with me? If you think I'm going to be sitting there like Rabbi Kohana and you just walk up and shoot me, you got another thing coming. I'm not saying I can't be gotten. over here. That nigga did it. And on the way from here to wherever we going, and if he's going up and I'm going down and he's going down and I'm going up, I'm going to say, wait a minute, I need a half an hour with this nigga first. Because I got to whip his ass some more in the spirit world. In Japan, intentionally violating the law. You may not want to hurt nobody, but they try to hurt your family. They try to take your stuff. I'm not telling you by saying don't violate the law, I'm not telling you become no chump. Defend yours. That's what the Constitution tells you. And if you're not satisfied, you raise up and form your own militia, but it must be well regulated. Don't get no bunch of kooks putting on no uniforms, running around with no AK-47s and blowing up innocent people.
Right.
That is not the way to do it.
Okay.
There is a way to get your point across, and it's by the mind,
okay,
not by weapon and death. It's by love. It's by concern. It's by compassion. Something has been strained out of us when they were shaking the spaghetti. We think it's cool to be uncompassionate. We think it's cool to be tough and uncaring and unconcerned about the children and the women in the future. And that's not real.
Okay.
Love really does conquer all.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Whenever you are met with racism, don't respawn with racism.
Right.
Respond with love. And you say, come on, man, it's something Dr. Martin Luther King, man. I'm telling you, there's a whole lot of Europeans,
okay,
that are in the court system, that is in the government, that step up and say, that's not right what you plan on doing. You don't hear about it because you never worked your way up there.
Yeah.
We get ready to enact something down in the ghetto and so, and the people up there, Caucasians, say, angels. To say, that ain't right. And they're in there fighting against them, abusing you. But you don't hear about that. You only hear what the media wants you to hear. You only hear about people who's out there to hurt you. They never tell you about anybody trying to help you.
Okay, right.
When you go to a music concert, most of the time, if you're sitting there watching somebody and they're going to sing high, you're waiting to find out if they're going to crack. If they get to the whole show without a mistake, then it's a good concert. The first mistake on the stage, first instrument that goes out, and somebody's rapping and missed the beat, and nigga messed up. You've been trained to look for the fault.
Right.
You gotta retrain yourself to look past the fault and enjoy the whole show.
Okay.
Also, when it comes to people, you gotta be trained again to realize blonde-haired, blue-eyed people have done absolutely nothing to you. And if you went to Scandinavia, you'll find that they're very nice people.
Okay.
But you've been trained by malicious people in government, a man called Hoover, who wanted to cause all this dissension in this country so that they can be dependent upon, so they can employ themselves. So in order for me to keep a police force in force and getting grants from the government, I gotta keep crime.
Okay.
In order for the FBIs and people like that to exist, they got to keep the chaos,
right,
that causes them to come into existence. Hell, man, if there wasn't no more problems, police would start shooting each other. In fact, in the last couple of months, they've been shooting each other on television, arresting each other, beating me. I saw two cops fighting on television about a month ago. Did y'all see that?
Yeah.
Pulled the guy out of the car, and he started fighting. He's running. Police
right,
running
right,
down the
right,
highway.
Right.
From more police. That's what happens when you give a person a new gun and don't give him nothing to shoot. They load the gun, they clean the gun, they click, 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 they load the gun, they put the bullets in, click, click, click. They go on the streets, I got to find something to shoot. And they start eventually shooting.
And
that's why I said, just step out the way and let evil be evil. Let them do their own devilishment. Stop getting into their world. When you step into their world, you're asking for it. When you go into them clubs where all that evil is at, you're looking for trouble. If there's a shootout and you get hurt, you brought it upon yourself because your ass shouldn't have been in there.
Right.
I know a lot of young people live down there up north, but I said come south. We're trying to take this land here and put a movie theater in here, a club for the hip-hop crowd. We don't, I don't have anything to do, anything against hip-hop or my sons being in there, as long as I know they're coming home in one piece. I don't mind you going out and having some fun with your music. I remember when I was coming up, and some of you old folks in there like me, we was coming up, they were telling us the music we were listening to. Why y'all listening to that guy?
Right.
And I, at the time, y'all don't know what y'all talking about. We was turning the volume up. We got to 10 on the volume. We was turning the thing. If we turn the knob, if we're not stripping the inside, but we keep turning just because the knob is going to get it out. You turn, next thing you know, the knob don't turn no more. And our brothers were saying, cut that down. You're going to go deaf, boy. Are you crazy? Say, what do y'all know? Well, now we think we're doing the same thing. That damn hip-hop music, them people on it, they got their thing.
Yes, sir.
You don't understand their thing? Mind your damn business. You don't take it away from them, because if you take it away from them, you better give them something just as exciting.
Yes,
something else to do with themselves.
Yes,
otherwise, like the police with the guns who don't know what to do, they start shooting each other.
Yes,
so we got to create an environment out here for the hip-hop generation. Yes.
How do you feel about people that's on probation?
There's nothing that prevents you from joining us while you're on probation, right? And we encourage you to go see your probation officer when you are supposed to, on schedule, properly dressed, and to be respectful and to get off probation as soon as you can, because there ain't a damn thing you can do about it, because you got your ass in trouble. So for us to tell you, you can just walk out of it, all I'm going to do is get your butt put back in jail. You know what I'm saying? Because you already are in the system by the time you're on probation or on parole. You're already in that system. So now the best thing you can do is switch up the personality. Show the probation officer that you have good intent to do something with your life, to get back in school, to get a job, clean yourself up, and come in there and let them go, what the hell happened to you? And say, well, I decided I'm going to do something with myself. I guarantee you, in a couple of months, you'll be off probation. Trust me. They'll take you right off. They say, you ain't no longer a part of the problem. In fact, you are a part of the solution because of your image. They will ask you sometime to come down there and help them work with other people. Now, I have brothers who was in prison, and they asked our brothers, could they come back to the prison and talk to prison? Now imagine now you done did 5 years, you done did a nickel, and you just get out, and then they ask you, do you mind coming back and teaching other people? The problem is real. We are, by the way, most of the prison officials have been writing us letters and telling us to send them books for the prisoners. They are literally suggesting that the prisoners read our books. Muhammad stuff, 5% stuff is being stopped. They're telling the kids to become Muwafiqs because of our doctrine. What it does? Does it tell you to do anything in violation of the law?
No.
Yes.
Yes, sir. Dr. Malachi, New York. What about the War Powers Act in respect to our sovereignty? Should it hit the fan?
Well, first of all, the main thing you must remember about the word sovereignty. And there's an international sovereignty community, right? Indigenous people. You automatically have it. You don't have to tell or ask anybody for it. Indigenousness is already there. You are it. Because they said Columbus came here, right? And somebody was here. And they didn't know the people that was here when they got here. Ain't but one thing for you to say. You know what that is?
I'm the people who...
I remember when y'all came here. You know what I'm trying to say? I remember when Columbus and boys, y'all remember when you boys came here, we were sitting there watching y'all come to shore on them boats. Insofar as they admit every day